Catholic Radio Indy now presents Faith in Action, a program that looks at how everyday people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Our program is underwritten in part by Franciscan St. Francis Health, providing faith-based integrated health care, a recipient of HealthGrade's 2015 America's 100 Best Hospitals Award, and by Marian University, a great Catholic university dedicated to providing students with excellence in teaching and learning in the Franciscan and liberal arts tradition, preparing transformative leaders for service to the world. And now, here's today's edition of Faith in Action. This is Faith in Action here on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is MJ Crowder.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. There you go. You can only do that for just a little while.
I know, a little while
starting
longer.
To sound pretty weird. But this is okay.
Do you know what? I am still getting Christmas letters from people. So I figure if I'm still getting Christmas letters
there you go.
That say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, then go. I can still say it.
There you can.
Okay, so let's see. What do we want to talk about? Letters.
Well, we are brand new, getting off to a brand new start of a year here. Soon people will be getting their W-2 forms and all the good stuff that you need to do your taxes.
Ooh.
And one of the things you may be looking for is your little notice from Catholic Radio for your contributions for the year. Yes, we do send those out, but we do have a particular threshold. I'm not sure where it is. The legal threshold's up.
$250.
And we do slightly less than that, I believe. But if we don't get one out to your house, give us a couple more weeks, two or three more weeks. And if we don't get one out, please give us a call and we will get you one. Exactly what you need for your taxes. You can just give us a call at 317-870-8400. And you know, maybe this is the time of the year that old car, and we take cars year round, but this time of the year, if a car is going to fail,
it's going to be this time.
You know, maybe
with the cold we've had,
the jumper cables out, or you know, all the different things that can happen to cars this time of the year, or the one you just flat out didn't even try to start. You know, the one that's just in the driveway there and
decorating
the neighborhood.
Decorating the neighborhood.
That one might be a good candidate.
Yeah. Or that one that's in the garage that you'd like to get out so you can park the good car in the garage. Yeah, my neighbor has one of those. So we make it real easy, though, here at Catholic Radio.
You can do that right on our website, catholicradioindy.org. Just click on the little Donate Your Car button or call us, 317-870-8400. We won't come out and get it, but we'll send some good folks out there that will. And it's that simple. You call and tell them, I've got this car, I've got the title in my hand, and it'll be gone in no time at all, and you'll have a tax receipt that you can use on the following year's taxes.
That's good. Our guest today on Faith in Action, Maria Castle. God bless you, Maria.
Glad to be here.
You know, I found out about you through a circuitous way. Sharon Typen, who really is that she's married to the founder of Catholic Radio, and I would consider her a co-founder, of Catholic Radio, and she suggests all kinds of shows for this program. She's a font of information. She's got all kinds of interesting suggestions. And she came across you through, I'm not quite sure how, but she sent me this email, and the email kind of just said, thank you, I would love to pray for a local priest. And I thought, what a great idea. Who didn't come up with that? Why haven't, you know, the year of the priest several years ago, we should have thought about this several years ago. So I want to hear all about that. I want to hear about the ECHO program that you're so involved in. I want to hear a little bit about Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Didn't you teach out at, or teach up in Carmel?
Yes. So I'm a sixth grade teacher at Our Lady of Mount Carmel. So I teach religion and social studies.
Oh, God bless you. How long have you done that?
This is my sixth year there.
Sixth year. You look so
young. It's hard
young.
To believe.
I know.
Time flies.
Sixth graders. Oh, but aren't they sassy in the sixth grade?
They can be at times, but I'm very blessed. My kids are pretty well behaved.
Okay.
So I'm very lucky.
Sixth grade. That was the year that I stopped teaching Vacation Bible School and Religious Ed because I followed the kids, you know, like pre-K. Okay, first, second, third. And at sixth grade was the first time I saw the kids kind of with their arms crossed. they didn't want to be there anymore. And it was like, my parents were making me be here for a CCD and religious ed. So sixth grade for me was it. That was it. Cut it off. I didn't do it anymore. So well, God bless
sometimes
you.
Sometimes they like to act like they're really cool, but they love to sing. They love to dance and act anything out. So when you give them those opportunities, they soar.
Oh, okay. I like that. So. All right. So tell us a little bit about, and do you belong to, Arlie, where do you belong? Where do you
I belong to St. Joan of Arc on the east side.
Oh, okay. All right. Yes, my daughter sings there from time to time. Yeah, great parish. Father Guy, wonderful.
Father Guy is amazing. I love his homilies. It's really one of the things that drew me to St. Joan of Arc.
And that really has a quite a young population. I mean, I've been to Mass several times there, and you look around, and of course you would expect the older, but there's a lot of young people there.
Because that's in one of the older established neighborhoods in Indianapolis, kind of a very established part of the city.
And yet you got a lot of young people moving in.
You do. And you think about young people, they're thirsting for the truth and they want to be actively involved. And Father Guy and St. Joan of Arc does a great job of including people and inviting them in, welcoming them in and saying, hey, how can we use your gift and your talents
that
God has given you?
Love that. Okay. So tell us about this. How did this initiative, how did you come up with this? How did it first come across your radar?
So I was very blessed to go to World Youth Day this summer with a group of individuals from Indianapolis with the young adult community. And
That was a big group.
That was
a big group. I heard about that.
It was a great trip. It was a big group, but it was great. I'm glad I didn't have to plan it.
Yeah. We talked to Scott Williams a little bit about that. Yeah. Oh, God bless you. Okay, so wonderful trip.
It was. And when I was over there, there was one day that Father Eric, the vocations director for the Archdiocese, gave a group of individuals a kind of personal tour through the footsteps of John Paul II. And I distinctly remember standing outside one of the churches in Debniki, which is a neighborhood area. And that is where John Paul II, when he was a young man at Carol Wojtyla, and he moved to Krakow with his father. That was his home parish. And it was there that there were 13 Silesian priests. And 12 of them, when the Nazis came in, were taken away. So they took all of them and left an elderly priest. And it really just hit me really hard right there. I had this complete fear and this complete anxiety as I'm listening to Father Eric tell this story of, oh my gosh, there were so many people who couldn't get Jesus, and they literally lived in this neighborhood. And this is something that, in all embarrassment, I have taught in my classroom for many years now about priests and the persecution and the underground churches, and not just the time of the Cold War, but currently today. And for some reason, it just hit me there. And maybe it was because I was surrounded by all these amazing priests who were journeying with us, or I saw priests from the other diocese and around the world. But I kept thinking, I can't imagine in my lifetime not being able to receive the Eucharist. I know how much of a gift it has been to my life. I know how much of a gift the sacrament of reconciliation has been in my life. And I have distinct memories of times of being in the confessional and words that priests have told me, some of them 4 years ago, that I still remember. And, I take it for granted. I take it for granted that I can pop into any church and just receive the Eucharist.
I think we all do. That's a bit of a shame. And
absolutely.
It is, Maria, I was talking to my brother from Fort Wayne the other day, and he said he went to confession. And this is a brother who's 70 years old. He said, I went to confession the other day to confess that I didn't have the thirst and the appreciation for the Eucharist, for accepting the, for receiving the Eucharist. I didn't have it, and where did it go? And I just, he goes to daily Mass. And he said, and maybe it's because I go to daily Mass that I don't have the awe, the shock and awe, of I'm receiving the Eucharist. And he felt a need to go to confession to talk to Father about how can I get that back. So you're probably not alone in that. I mean, that we need to thirst more. And how wonderful that you were, World Youth Day, in there with all these, not only the group that went from Indianapolis, but thousands of young people from all over the world that just wanted to be a part of something and wanted to appreciate the wonder of their faith together.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And it's just that hearing you tell that story of your brother, it's just, we we're very blessed to be in the United States, where we have so many gifts, and sometimes we don't even realize all the gifts we have, and we forget it. And it's easy sometimes to fall into your daily routines and your daily habits and forget it.
Sure.
And forget that you're not just receiving, like, oh, I'm receiving the Eucharist. We're receiving His heart. And the heart is the source of love. It's the source of life. And I made a promise right there in that vow to God that I'm like, okay, I promise I'll get better at praying for priests. I promise that I'm not going to take for granted the Eucharist, God. And as the days went on, I kept thinking, like, those poor priests, I just feel so bad for them. And, you know, they're under so much attack. And they are on the front line of defense against the enemy. And I know we all have those temptations and on the front line against the enemy, but they have a lot to carry. And I think through World Youth Day and traveling with some priests and getting to know them, I got a little glimpse of that.
Amen. Amen. If you're just now tuning in, listeners, our guest today, Maria Castle, and she started a very interesting initiative that I'll loosely call Adopt a Priest, where you assign a priest to someone and they pray for them for a period of time. We need to take a break and we'll be right back.
Three things keep Catholic Radio Indy on the air. One is our fervent desire to spread the gospel message. Two is your donations to the station. We couldn't survive without them. And three is underwriting from area businesses. Every month, these businesses make donations to the station. Please support them. Visit their stores, send them an email, or call them. Let them know that you appreciate their support of Catholic Radio. It's a great way to thank our underwriters for their very important support.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. Our guest today, Maria Castle. She is with us today. We talked a little bit in the first half about your trip to World Youth Day and how the seeds of this initiative were planted in your soul and how you started to understand the thirst and desire because born from the persecution of so many before us. And the priests who have been on the front line, really, of our faith, I don't know that we do. I know we are admonished to pray for our priests and our leaders regularly, but I don't know how many of us really do, you know? And it might be a great practice at Mass, every time we go to Mass, to offer that Mass for our priest, for a priest who is offering the Mass for us. But you took it a step further. Okay, so you kind of had this initiative planted on your heart, on your soul, that we need to pray for our priests more and take care of them. But then what do? Okay, so where do you go?
So I have kind of, with the help of Father Eric and getting the list of the priests, there are 148 archdiocesan priests.
In Indianapolis.
In Indianapolis.
Okay.
And I would love more than anything to have them being prayed by name every single day. And it can be very easy if you just email me at indieprayersforpriest@gmail.com.
That's very clever. indieprayersforpriest@gmail.com. Perfect.
Yes.
That was good.
And
then I woke up.
There's a specific priest that you would like to pray specifically for every day. And again, it can be maybe just a morning offering for them, a rosary, offering up a suffering, maybe an adoration hour, or something as saying a Mass. It can be something different every day, but I think there's power in praying for them specifically by day. And if you go ahead to that email, if there's someone, a specific priest you would like to pray for that you feel called for, if you would just let me know, and I'll then record to know that that priest is being prayed for. Otherwise, I literally pick a priest from a hat, a bag.
Oh my.
And before I do that, I ask the Blessed Mother's intercession, and I leave it up to the Blessed Mother. She knows who needs what prayers and who's to be entrusted with who. So right now, I have about 80 priests that are
being prayed for daily. But we
still
have a deficit then of 68 priests.
Yes, so we still have some room to make up and some room to improve. And it's something that every year I would like to start on the feast of St. John Vianney, which is August 4th. So at that time, you will have the opportunity, whether you would like to renew, do you feel the Holy Spirit is calling you again to pray for a priest by name? Or maybe you're saying, you know, right now I feel that the Lord is calling me to pray for something else specifically.
Okay, why St. John Vianney?
That he's a patron of priests.
Oh, well, of course.
Now, would this be something that a family, I'm thinking young parents with young kids, might be able to adopt as opposed to, you know, just a single person adopting a priest?
Yes, definitely. I actually, there's a married couple that contacted me and said, hey, we would like to adopt a priest and pray for them as a married couple. So it's a great thing that you can pick a priest for your family to pray for.
Okay, we're going to mention that email again. Listeners, so get your pencil, grab a pencil or a pen. And this is something, I love the idea of a family doing it because it's a good example to set for your children that we are going to adopt this priest prayerfully and specifically and mention his name, because imagine the the multiplication of the prayers that you have and the prayers of our little ones to do something daily and wonderful. Mm-hmm. Now, do you have an idea that at the end of the year, or at the beginning or any time in there, the priest will be made aware that he is being prayed for?
I've actually left that up to the individuals who have spiritually adopted those priests. I said, if you would like to contact the priests and let them know, you know, go right ahead. If you would like to keep it private, that's fine. I do have a friend who said, okay, I'm not going to let him know to the end of the year. And like,
oh, as I love that.
August 4th rolls around, she goes, and then I'm going to tell him that I'm the one who's praying for him, which I think is really neat.
Oh, I love that. I think that is wonderful. Can you imagine, though, looking back in the year at the tough times? I mean, it's kind of like the footsteps prayer, you know, knowing that someone was specifically praying for you. And I love, Maria, if you're just now tuning in, listeners, our guest today, Maria Castle, that you said, pray for the priest by name, specifically with intent. I love that. So give us the email again that they can email and get a priest's name. Or you also said if they have a priest in mind, so maybe a parish priest in mind that they would like to pray for, they can also request that.
Yes, they can do that. The email is indieprayersforpriest@gmail.com.
Pretty easy. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the ECHO program. I saw a YouTube video of yours and it was delightful. Had me in stitches. It was, I don't know how many hits it had, but I think I watched it two or three times. So I clicked it up a little bit. But so this, and not to be confused with the ECHO program out of Notre Dame.
No, right. This is something that originally has started in Louisiana. So there is a nonprofit organization called Dumox, and it is run by Brian Butler, and he is one of the co-authors of Theology of the Body for Teens and Theology of the Body for Middle School, the books. And there is a week-long camp that he puts on for teens. And actually, it's a week long for the young adults who volunteer their time. So half of it, when you show up, like 3.5 days, is for young adults who have the time to be engrossed in theology of the body. And not just, it's one thing to learn the knowledge, but it's another thing to say, how do I apply this to my daily life? The world can be very confusing for young adults, and how can I live out my authenticity as a man and as a female, and how do I love appropriately? And then the teens show up and you're able to then give that gift to them that you have just learned and just been engrossed in for a couple of days.
You know what's really wonderful is the theology of the body. I mean, Christopher West has taken this to incredible heights, the understanding and the things that he has written and spoken about. And it is really quite transformative. I've witnessed it in a young woman in my life who has really taken it to heart and has transformed not only her way of speaking and dealing with a man that she is dating, but the way that she dresses and the gifts that she will accept and the gifts that she gives and her prayer life. It has become, and the way that she wants to be treated. It is a transformation process that is beautiful to behold, but I think so necessary.
It is so necessary, and I know for myself, I first learned about this message my first year teaching at Our Lady Mount Carmel, and this is my sixth year there. And I went to a workshop that Brian Butler put on, and it was, you know, this is how you implement it in your classroom, do this, do that, let's learn a little bit about theology of the body. And I remember leaving there and calling a dear friend of mine and saying, I think I just went on a retreat. He knew my whole life story, but didn't even know my name. And it's really for me where I grew in my zeal for the faith. And it helped me to understand how to live. I was just existing and going through the motions. And all of a sudden, it was like everything in my life made sense. And I knew how to live and how to love my life that God has given me and how to love others.
You know, I think understanding theology of the body and the way it was meant is empowering for men and women. It really is. It's kind of an eye-opening experience because you realize the bunch of lies and half-truths that have been fed to us from not only Hollywood, but mainstream media, and the things that we see on a regular basis being fed through movies and commercials and, oh my goodness, I mean, it's a constant barrage. And when you hear and see the truth, and it's given, and you get it from a trusted source, and how much more wonderful than a teacher, a favorite teacher. I'm tickled to see that you're implementing it in, this is kind of middle school, right?
Yes.
Okay, so this is, that's where we want to get them. That's where we want to get them. So to bring it down from adult level, I get the theology of the body, Christopher West for adults. But, to really bring it and apply it to 10, 11, 12, 13, 14-year-olds, which is where we really need it. Okay, so tell us more. How can parents, if parents are thinking, what is this? How do we get involved? How do we know more about it? This camp, what is it? What's the deal? So how can, and you're doing it at Our Lady of Mount Carmel.
And well, actually the camp I've done one in Louisiana, two in Cincinnati, and one in Chicago.
Is it here in Indianapolis?
So yet? The camp has never come to Indianapolis, no.
Not yet.
Praying to God that it comes here one day. Yeah. So, but it's, if you go to Dumox Productions, if you can just
as
Google
in
that.
Is it St. Dominic? As in, is it,
was no, it's Saint, after St. Thomas Aquinas. St. Thomas Aquinas. Nicknamed the Dumox.
Right.
So if you can go there, they already have the date scheduled for this summer. There's two in Louisiana. One for for young adults in central Louisiana. I think it's a 5-day. And then one that's 7-day where the young adults show up and learn the message and then give it to the teens.
Okay, and this can be, so you went with the idea of what? Of implement it.
I went as, in all my ignorance, saying, okay, I'm supposed to be teaching this in my classroom. I love this message. Let me get some hand-on tools, some application.
Okay.
And when I went down there, I remember thinking, this is too good to be true. These people have to be fake. Like, I have never seen young adults who are so authentic, and especially in my experience, males,
yeah,
who were looking at me and just wanted to love me as a sister in Christ and not use me.
Yeah.
And I realized as the days went on, no, it wasn't just a retreat high. This is the way they live their life. And this is possible in your daily community.
But it's really hard to believe if the only way you have been treated is as an object of someone's desires or a means to an end.
It is. It's very challenging. And I know that's why I am so passionate about teaching it in my sixth grade classroom. And I encourage parents to just Google Theology of the Body Institute. You're going to come up with some great resources there for you. They're out at the Theology of the Body Institute in Philadelphia. You can actually go and take courses. I'm actually being certified. I'm one of a very small percent of people in the world who are being certified, and I'm grateful to have the opportunity to take classes with Christopher West and have him teach me with a small group of individuals and other very well-known theologians who are brought into the Institute to teach.
Now, you're being certified as because you are a teacher or just because you are an individual who's passionate and interested in this?
Anyone can go and be certified in theology of the body. There's requirements for different things. But my passion that the Lord has placed on my heart is I would love to get it into the Catholic schools in the Indianapolis area. I feel like everyone wants to do it for the high schools, which is great, and I applaud them. And it's in the youth groups in some parishes. But the Lord has placed the desire on my heart to put it in the grade school. And
amen.
It's because of my experience in teaching in sixth grade, and I have seen sixth graders literally transform in front of my eyes. I have seen families transform.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we need it in sixth grade. We need it. My son's 34 years old, but I remember when he was in sixth and seventh grade, the dances that we went to and the stories that I was, and this was back then, so this is, 20 years ago, the kinds of things that I was scandalized by hearing of what the kids were talking about and what they were well, what they were talking about and their behaviors. We need it. We need it in the high schools, of course, but we need it in the sixth grade. I applaud your efforts.
And I'm very blessed. I always tell everyone I'm open to sharing. I've gone into St. Joan of Arc Catholic School this year during a chunk of my free time. Very blessed that my administration let me go and to be able to teach it. And it's not it's something that I just want to get out there. I just want to equip teachers and equip schools so that they can deliver the message to their students so that they can bring them peace, they can bring them joy, they can bring them healing. Sixth graders are at that age where they're aware of what issues are going on in their family, and there's a lot of brokenness. And people look at Our Lady and they think it's a great Catholic school, and it is, but there's a lot of woundedness in my students' hearts. And this message brings them healing and hope more than I would ever be able to bring them.
Amen. Amen. Our guest today on Faith in Action, Maria Castle. We talked a little bit in the first half and a little bit in the second about Adopt a Priest, which is a wonderful program, a little bit about the ECHO program, which is Christopher West, Theology of the Body. You know, I wonder as I'm listening to you if it can't be from, you know, the top down instead of the bottom up, you know, from the diocesan office. Have you talked to anybody downtown at the, you know, the diocesan office, the superintendent of schools, to come from that approach rather than school by school? Have you thought about that?
I have thought about that. I have not yet. I know Matt Failey, who's in charge of like the young adult office, knows
wonderful.
I'm passionate about this.
He's
Katie
wonderful.
Som, who works down there, Chrissy Vargo.
Yeah.
A number of individuals who work down there.
Mary
Scott
McCoy,
Williams
just
knows
had Mary
that
McCoy,
I'm passionate
yeah.
about it.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of more of this grassroots effort I'm trying right now.
Okay, well, put it in Our Lady's hands, our Lord's hands. It, you know, His will be done. And if He wants it, what a wonderful initiative, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I had no idea that it had trickled down into a grade school, but I'm so heartened because I think it's so necessary.
If you would give us the
Email
address for the adopter, not adopter priest, but the
priest. What kind of adopter priest?
Spiritually adopt
yeah,
them.
Spiritually
yes.
adopt priest.
The email for that again is?
It is indieprayersforpriest@gmail.com.
How wonderful that you came up with that and it wasn't taken. I mean, that was perfect.
I know. By the grace of God. Holy Spirit led.
Okay.
And if they want to find out more about the other program, how do they get in touch with you?
Camp Echo, if you go to Dumox Productions.
And that's
spell
Ox.
D-U-M-B-O-X, okay. And then just the word productions. Or feel free, if you're still struggling to find it, email me at indieprayersforpriests@gmail.com, and I'd be more than willing to help you navigate to get more information.
The Dumox, great story about St. Thomas Aquinas. I mean, imagine this. St. Thomas Aquinas, one of the greatest thinkers of our church, initially, you know, he was called and was made fun of, the dumb ox. Is that crazy or what? Maria Castle, God bless you, and thank you so much for being our guest on Faith in Action.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, underwritten in part by Marian University and by Franciscan St. Francis Health. If you'd like to suggest a guest or a topic for a future program, call us at 317-870-8400 or email mj@catholicradioindy.org. And remember, you can hear or download this program or any Faith in Action program 24/7 at catholicradioindy.org. Just click on the programming tab and select podcasts.